We'll resume.
All right, we'll start off with opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here. You say we're two or more gathered in your name. You're in the midst. And Lord, we definitely need you in the midst. Lord, give us your supernatural strength and understanding as the Patriots nationwide labor onward to bring this country back to where it needs to be. And bless Thomas's voice here. He's been doing a lot of talking, Lord, and needs to have that voice in shape here to be able to teach us what we need to know. Lord, we ask all these things in your blessed and holy name. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Thomas.
Amen. All right. Is Gene on here? Gene and Phil? I heard Phil, but I didn't hear Gene pop in.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. All right. If either of you got anything to say, go ahead and say it, and then I'll start my spewing of the mouth.
Keep up the good work.
This is Phil, and since you gave me a chance to say something, I...
It's a glowing introduction.
Right. I'm in the information business, have been for a long time, and I want to share something with you that I'm going to probably put on YouTube and make a gift for the hudoc.info file, because this really says it all. There's a magazine called The Week. In this magazine, July 17th issue, under Best Columns in the Business section, here's a story. It's called Fannie and Freddie's Absurd Raises. It's an editorial that comes from Investors Business Daily. And here's, just listen to the first few sentences. The toxic twins are at it again, said Investors Business Daily. Bailed out mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are granting hefty pay raises to their CEOs. You may recall that after the pair needed a $189 billion taxpayer-funded rescue in 2008, their leader's compensation was capped at $600,000 a year. But new rules will increase the total annual target pay for Fannie Chief Timothy Mayopoulos and Freddie's CEO Don Layton to an outrageous $4 million each. The payouts are all the more shocking given that both men are essentially civil servants. I got news for them. They are not essentially civil servants, because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all these government organizations are corporations. This is corporate whoredom. It's that simple. So anyway, I will be making a animation and probably a YouTube video concerning this, and I think it'll be good.
Sounds good.
Thanks for telling us, Phil. Gene, you have anything?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So basically what Thomas is going to describe to us is in the process of moving out the criminal politicians and bureaucrats, what happens in the interim until you can get new politicians and bureaucrats in place to run things. So we talked with him about a few nights or a few days ago, and he definitely has thought through the whole thing extremely well. So, Thomas, let us know how we make the transition from the criminals to the system that we are supposed to have.
All right. So the key here really is the standing and jurisdiction of the people, the capacity that they're operating in, and only those that have accepted and acknowledged their actual birthright have a say-so in moving forward. The rest of them have no say-so and are actually the slaves to those that have the say-so. And so that is going to be key, is getting your standing capacity, jurisdiction, venue, and law form in the proper place. And we have the paperwork for that. And those persons then have the ability to, under the law of necessity, appoint someone by majority vote among those sovereigns to be placed into the civil authority, regardless of the level. We're talking legislature, the courts, the executive branch, up and down the board, local to state level. And those persons then, once you have the civil authority, according to the original contracts in place, the law of necessity will allow you to accept them temporarily, because there are many problems in those documents that we'll go over here in a little bit. And at that point, you have the civil authority, and you have the authority to talk to the military and to give orders. And that is where we need to be, is giving the orders to the military, not only to stand down, but to start to implement the cleanup process. Because we have a nation of men that are actually cowards right now, and when it's on the line, they've refused to step up. And that's their choice. They'll have to live with that. They'll meet their maker one day. They'll pay that price. And so the military, even though at the highest levels, are probably a part of the satanic occult. If they're not a part of the satanic occult, they've been bribed or paid off, so they might as well be. Those persons will be removed very quickly, I'm sure, by those that are still for us, and they will help to implement the cleanup process, because all of our supposed oath takers in this country are foreign agents, and by their actions they've shown that they're going to continue to be foreign agents, and that's fine. That's
their choice.
That's their choice, but they'll pay the consequences for that, because as a foreign agent, as a foreign operative, and we are at war here, they should understand what that means.
Yeah,
that means that themselves, as well as their family, their bloodline, is not going to have a fun ride from here on out. When the majority of the American people find out what's been done, their bloodlines will cease to exist on this soil. I can guarantee that. And so there will be no legacy left of these foreign agents at all. My advice is they should pack up and leave the shores right now, because what's coming is not going to be pretty for them. We outnumber them many, many to one. They may have some of our money right now. It's not real money. Real money's coming back, and their accounts will be worthless. All of their actions will have been for naught. And so we need to look at these persons, and that's including the sheriffs, the police. Anybody who's taken an oath as a foreign agent operating on our soil at war with us.
That's right.
We've got to stop looking at them as government or our friends or our neighbors. As a matter of fact, we should be shaming them right now and shunning them for the actions they've taken against us. And so the military will, with the civil authority in place, they will be in charge of doing the cleanup for us. And because it's the military and because it's war, it will be extreme prejudice only, the same thing that they've been using against our children daily. And
yep.
The so-called patriot movements have said they've been stopping. They haven't. Our children are dying daily still at the hands of these foreign agents. And we sit by and put it on YouTube and ask why. Well, we know why. We're at war. We're at war. The only difference is these guys are not following the laws of war and letting us know who they are.
That's right. They're cowards.
And so they will be taken care of with extreme prejudice, as they do us. That's not a concern. And so the bridge between the two, you really have two choices at that point. You can go back to the original contracts, and under the law of necessity, you can negate those provisions which have been harmful to this country and to the people thereof, on a temporary basis. because we would like to have the majority of the American people get their standing capacity, jurisdiction, venue, and law form at the proper place so they can join us. If not, right. They are the enemy, too. They are the enemy, too. This is the sovereign soil and not some corporate fictions that's living off the government teat at this point. And so they have no say-so in what happens as we go forward unless they join us. If they don't join us, they are the enemy.
They're dead.
They are the enemy. And I will treat them as such, and I hope the rest of us do, too.
I will. I tell them that every day.
So the original contracts were fairly good. They have no real foundation based upon prior contracts, but that's fine. We can work around that under the law of necessity. And with the military, the owners of those contracts that interfere with ours can't interfere. The military will make sure they don't interfere. And if they try, I'm sure they can be dealt with swiftly.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's not a problem. We do have a good portion of the military that are good people, but they've been waiting for the proper standing of the American people or a mass of the American people to wake up. So we'll give them the proper standing and capacity of a few Americans, and that's enough. That's all we actually need.
We'll give them the wake-up call.
And so they will effectuate this cleanup for us. There's not going to be a concern with that. The problem is time. We're limited on time. There are many things happening internationally that have imposed that time upon us. And, of course, those are the same persons that have these contracts that interfere with our contract and have really no right to interfere. And so we're talking about the Jesuits. We're talking about the Vatican. We're talking about England. These are the ones that are the power players on the public side behind the scenes controlling this country.
Right.
They have been for a long time. And I know the American people are going to find it hard to accept. That's their problem. They've clearly told us in their own words, and we've incorporated into the complaint exactly what they've been doing. And so they have no defense against their own words. It's just that simple. So once the military begins their cleanup, it's very simple. The each state would simply need to file something similar to what we did here in West Virginia and follow the template that we will lay out over time here. And they may join us as the sovereign and independent nations in union that they should be. And that should be effectuated fairly quickly once the military has a civil authority to listen to. It does need to be an executive level, an executive branch authority. And so that could be mayor, that could be your county commission, that could be your governor of your state. But that is the civilian authority that you need in place. The rest of it doesn't matter. But if you can get a legislative, if you can get a constitutionally compliant legislative structure in place, seven acts have already been written to clean up the mess in your state with the stroke of a pen. Seven simple acts so that you do not even need to go to the court and beg and plead with those idiots at all. There is still the opportunity to effectuate a lawful jural society and have your court do it through various writs. Extraordinary writs, but lacking the real men to stand up, you may have an easier time just going in under the law of necessity and just replacing them and enacting it through the legislature and having the military enforce that. Those seven acts, I don't think they're up on HUDOC yet, but we will get them up there. They're already written. They're ready to go. They do the job. They just need the legislature of the state to enact it. You also have the opportunity to decide, do you really want government, which is Latin for control the mind, or there's another option that is completely viable, and that is a public trust indenture. And it could do the necessary things that government should only be doing, and it allows the people of that, under that trust indenture, to decide whether they actually want to be a part of it or not, which is part of the free will choice that has to be recognized stepping forward. We were given what we were given by our Creator, and so we have a right to be anywhere on earth, regardless of who's around us and what they decide to do. And a trust indenture would allow just that, because a beneficiary of a trust can disavow the benefits of that trust and can actually disavow the entire trust together. And so what that means is you can live on the soil of West Virginia, and they can have a trust of West Virginia in place, and yet they cannot bother or molest you unless you so choose. And I think that's actually a much more viable option, but it will be very hard for a lot of people to accept the fact that government is and always has been broken and is designed the same way as organized religion, to simply control the masses. We've got to break the control of the masses, and the majority of Americans are not ready for that. They need someone to tell them what to do, and they need someone to take care of them. And that's fine. Go be a corporate slave, and we will be the free ones around that have authority over you, because you will actually be our slave, because you're in inferior jurisdiction and capacity. And that's fine if that's what they choose, the free will choice. So you have the two options of either returning to the original documents and implementing them as closely as possible under the law of necessity, or you have a trust indenture. And that trust indenture has been posted on hudoc.info to read. And it is basically dealing with those things necessary that an individual person could not do on his own, but a group of us can come together and do, such as utilities, water, electric, your bridges, your roads, and an actual true education for the children of our country. And it should be limited to just that. So the trust indenture is just a template. We wrote it with what we thought would be best. But, of course, the people of each area would have to choose that on their own. But I do believe that a trust indenture is the best way to go, but it can be a beautiful bridge between the old and the new. And so now we'll get to the new. The new, we have to recognize that there are many ancient contracts in place that have negated all of what we thought was done by our purported founding fathers. And so we must come out with a new declaration of pendants, backed by the law of conquest and the military ready to fully enforce it against all persons outside of our country. And they may try to physically do something, but most likely they will do what they did last time, which is try to beat us with brains. And so that is where we must realize the defects in the original contract. And if nothing else, amend those and learn from them, or completely draw something new. And there are two things that I've seen that are key to being able to stop the corruption that has happened here and to stop the infiltration. The first one is to remove the judiciary completely. The judiciary should not be a part of a government structure. The Founding Fathers said they gave us checks and balances. Well, no, what they gave us was three branches that just scratch each other's back. That's clearly been proven. And so the resolution of disagreements and arguments between the people and their government structure should not be contained within the government itself. It should be contained outside the government, by, of, and for the people completely. And so my recommendation would be to completely remove the judiciary from the government structure, and also remove the gatekeeper that is in those courts, and that is the judge. There is no need for a judge whatsoever. He is simply a gatekeeper and a controller and a referee that is out of control, that's being bought and paid for. And so if we have 12 free state citizens sitting there, that is all that's needed. There doesn't need to be rules of evidence. There doesn't need to be but a very simple rule of procedure, which really is just due notice to the other side. And to lay it out quite simply, a real man with a complaint would file the complaint into this court, tribunal, whatever you wish to call it. And those 12 persons then are going to immediately, you have to realize that the old style of justice was, let's use an assault case as an example. Someone beat me up, and I had medical bills, and I lost time off work. And so I have monetary damages and physical damages and an actual crime cognizable by the law firm, cause no harm to others or their property. And so the complaint is going to be not only the seeking of punishment for the crime, but also the making whole of the person that is the victim. And so, in other words, you're going to put together the criminal and the civil side all at once. Not only does it save time, but we can see in these courts today where you may be found not guilty of a crime and yet be sued and have to pay for a crime that you didn't commit, which makes no sense.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you will first off reduce the amount of caseload, but second off you will effectuate true justice, because if you're found innocent, then there's no way that you can be forced to pay for the damage that you did not cause. Period.
That's the way it should be.
And that's the easiest way to do it. And so we are going to follow just simple law, which is due notice. Of course, you file the complaint. There's no need for a grand jury. A live man does not need to beg other men to tell somebody that he's been harmed. So in this specific instance with this tribunal, there's no need for a grand jury at all. And there's actually no need for a grand jury, period, because the grand jury was really used as an oversight of government initially, and then used by the government once they made themselves the sovereign to destroy us. And so there would be no grand jury associated with this anyway, because only live men can walk into this tribunal. Only live men. Now, if you have a fiction of law, creature of the mind, or a corporation, as some people call it, you're more than welcome to come in there. But you have to step out from behind the corporate capacity, and you will be under your own full liability at that point. And so your corporation may have harmed someone, and we'll bring you in there. But realize that not only will we take the corporation assets, we will take your personal assets, So there is no more hiding behind fictions. That is the other problem we've had in this world, is that we've been allowed to propagate these corporations, trust foundations, and elevated them to the status of a live man. And of course, you can't do that under the maxim, like things deal with like things. So we will honor these fictions if they've been harmed by someone, but the actual verified owner will have to bring the complaint himself in the capacity of a live man under his own liability. And if you bring complaints and the person is found innocent, this panel may charge you for that, because the innocent person was forced to defend himself and spend time and expenses to do so. And so that is the check on persons just filing frivolous claims, because you will pay a lot of money if you start bringing these frivolous claims in. And so remember, both sides can win. So if you cannot prove your case, you best not walk in there, because you may lose walking in there and doing that. And that's about the best check and balance you can have on a court system modern day, absent forcing everyone to bond everything. And I think at this point in time, that's an impossibility, because we've been raped and pillaged and looted, and most of us barely have enough food to eat. But at some point in the future, you would want to go back to the bonding of cases, which is simply, you would be forced to put up a certain amount of a bond so that the other party is indemnified against any damages that you may cause by bringing a false claim. And the other section that you would need is a replacement of the grand jury. The grand juries are no longer needed. What you want is an oversight committee, a council of some kind, that would be implemented at each level, each different level and jurisdiction and venue of your government structure. And they will serve something like a grand jury, 30 days, and then they will be changed out. And that is simply to avoid corruption and people being able to control something for way too long. So regardless of whether an investigation is in the middle at the end of the 30 days, it's still, it's transferred over to the next batch. And so we're going to, you're not going to be able to corrupt and stop these actual investigations. And their sole duty is oversight of government. That's their only duty, is oversight of government. And so let's say you have a city, you will have one at the city. You have a county, you'll have one at the county. You have a state, you will have one at the state. And if need be, you can implement them for each agency or department that we, the people, think we need to do things that we cannot do on our own. And so you may have a state structure and you may need 10 of these. That's fine. And this is something that the people will be compensated for out of the Treasury, because it is a service that is needed at this point in time. And my suggestion would be that they have the authority to overrule anything that the government is doing and stop it dead in its tracks right there before it causes harm. So if they're attempting to pass a law that is not specifically only guided towards their employees, then that committee can stop it null and void. It's not even going to be brought to the floor and voted upon. The legislature and these contracts must be formed to show that the legislature may only pass laws, rules, and ordinances for their employees, not us. We are the bosses. The employees never write the rules for the bosses. That is the main thing that's went wrong in this country. And so this oversight committee can work at both the executive and the legislative branches, and I would recommend that it do so. And it can be as little as 5 people, could be as little as 10 people. It depends upon what agency, department, or branch they're looking after. So if they're looking after the legislature, you may want 10. If they're looking after the governor, you may only need 2. But they will have full investigative powers, including the power of attorney, or I mean power of subpoena. And any problems that they have with government not complying, they will have immediate recourse to our courts of the people. And it will be the people's job to then immediately issue the proper writ and use the proper enforcement to get this council what they need. And they should be, and I would recommend that we also start implementing on these councils full-time basis financial auditors to ensure that what is being uncovered here, not only in West Virginia but in other states, is not going to happen again. And we need to bring back the true rule of accounting, not this double book of accounting. It's got to be something that the average person... Sorry, I'm getting a text. It's got to be something that the average person can understand, like when we balance our checkbook. When we write a check, our balance goes down. When we deposit something, our balance goes up. This is the accounting that needs to be implemented. Not the credit and debit side, the double books, the CAFR accounts. This has got to stop. The rabbit hole that we're going down here in West Virginia with the help of a very good friend is going so deep that I'm stopping. I don't care anymore. We've already caught them, and there's no need to waste any more time. We can let the forensic auditors figure this one out. We don't need to go down the rabbit hole. A good man once taught me, you find the first error and you stop. That's all you need. We found the fraud and we're stopping. There's no need to investigate the rest, to bring a complaint on the rest. You go with the first error. We found the first error, so we're stopping in West Virginia. We don't need to go any further. We will let the proper persons that have been trained to do it, we will have them dissect these documents for the next 10 years if necessary. And then based upon those findings, those persons will be prosecuted and their assets will be seized. And so these persons should listen here, because your children, your wife may be left penniless and homeless, and we're not going to care. We're not going to care. The crimes have been committed for way too long. And so you should start thinking very seriously about your family at this point. because just as you have endangered ours, you have placed yours in danger. And that's not what a real man does or a real woman does to her own family.
That's right.
And just remember, your children are your legacy. I mean, do you really want your legacy to be penniless and homeless and you to be in jail? Is that what you really want? Because that's what you've done to us for years. Karma comes back around. Now, I'm not a heartless person. I have love for all human beings. But I have no love for criminals at all. And I've been treated like a criminal, even though I'm not. So I know how you've treated me, and we're going to return the same. We're going to return the same. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and stop for right now, because I don't want to put too much on anybody at any one time. I'll open it up for questions or comments, or maybe, Steve, you want to guide me in a certain place.
Yeah, Thomas, explain more about law of necessity and how that operates and the foundation of that that makes it the key to a lot of this process.
Well, the law of necessity is this. There are times during emergencies, disasters, war, that using the normal confines of law will hinder what actually needs to be done. And what we have here in this country is we have a large section that are simply slaves. And we have a small section of persons that are free. And so those free persons actually have the claim. And those free persons will have to use the law of necessity because, of course, we don't have time. So let's say that we need a civilian authority. We don't have time to beg and plead with the slaves to join us to get the proper standing capacity, jurisdiction, venue, and to move forward. And so those free men have the right to do what is ever necessary to correct the situation at that moment. And realize that we've laid the foundation for the invoking of it lawfully, not just to invoke it on a whim. Whereas our government has invoked it on a whim throughout the history of this country to our detriment. And so what West Virginia has done is given you the lawful platform to invoke it to allow you to do what is normally not lawful but is necessary at this point in time. Does that explain it a little better, Steve?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then with respect to the court of record, why don't you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Okay, so the court of record, at this point, under the law of necessity, we have no courts. And we have to remember, first off, that the court is the paperwork, not the building, not the people within it. It's the paperwork. And so we must do this contractually and on an individual basis because it is a specific standing capacity, jurisdiction, venue, and law form that is forming. And it's of the highest. It's the original. It's what was originally placed here on earth, your birthright that has been stolen from you. And so what we're trying to do is simply give a venue for those that have those proper standings, and you can be given, as a matter of fact, it's part of the contract itself. You must have the proper standing capacity, jurisdiction, venue, and law form before you can even become a member of that juror society that forms the court. And so it's already been laid out for you, quite simply. And we want to give a venue, jurisdiction, and law form that is superior to this corporate structure, so that it can order the corporate structure around, thereby effectuating what actually needs to be done to clean this mess up. And that is the template or the recommendation is placed on hudoc.info. My computer is still down right now, so I can't tell you exactly where it's at on there. But it is there. and I implore you to read it before Thursday. And I implore you to read the indenture as well. It's in the same place. And come with questions on those, because I think that those two things are actually very key to what needs to be done. And so, put it simply, it's, you can look at it as a Supreme Court. Because I know we're used to thinking in terms of de facto. So let's look at this as a Supreme Court above their Supreme Court. And so remember, everything the Supreme Court can do, we can do to them, regardless of the level that you're dealing with, whether it be federal, state, county. This court is above it. This court has oversight. This court can pull cases. This court can prohibit them from moving. This court can give orders to the corporation's officers to do specific things. But I think you need to read it, and then you would see what I'm saying, and you may be able to form questions. I'm trying not to overwhelm you with too much information at one time.
So would the court of record be able to, as we have talked about, issue warrants that would have effect in other states or only in West Virginia?
It depends on how the people that come together. I mean, at this point, there is no West Virginia. There is no Ohio. You have U.S. Inc.
Right.
And so if you're looking at it from that structure, you could have persons from California signing it with persons from West Virginia. And it's got nationwide jurisdiction at this point. Now, once you have a civil authority that is running a state structure or a county structure, that court would at that point be limited to that area, to that territorial area, that venue. But at this point, we have U.S. Inc., and that is it.
Okay, so until U.S. Inc. is abolished, then basically we're amorphous in terms of the boundaries. It's just the outside boundary of the continental U.S.
Correct. The entire geographic landmass.
Yeah. Okay.
Thomas, if I may.
Yes, sir.
I heard on a call maybe a month or so ago, a Republic call that I believe in April, U.S. Corp. Inc. filed bankruptcy. You know anything
correct
about that? Or does that stand in this venue or what?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's a fiction. Of course, they've been bankrupt since the beginning of this country, and we can go into that at another time. But your purported country has always been bankrupt. That just means that they have no standing at law actually within their own courts. And it's really of no concern to us because they're private and we're not liable for their bankruptcy debt. And so I could really care less, to be honest with you.
Well, where I was going was if they're bankrupt, and right, you're right about all that other stuff, but if they've claimed bankruptcy, then we should just move forward and dissolve them.
Absolutely, but we have to understand that there's some idiots out there saying that each of us is the government, and that's not the case because that would mean each of us is a slave. We are the kings and queens on this land. We're not slaves, and so we're not the government. So we can't come out and say we're a judge or that we are a governor. We must have those that have the proper standing capacity come together and say, yes, we wish this person to represent us for right now. And then we can later on implement our slaves for us because they are our slaves. If you are working for a king or a queen, you are a slave. You may be paid, but you're a slave. You're ours. We own you.
Thank you.
Thomas, with respect to the bankruptcy, because the debt was incurred under fraud, it would release we the people from responsibility for that, correct or no?
It's under the doctrine of odious debt, which is international in nature. internationally. And, of course, it's just common sense. Because there's been fraud, anything they claim is vitiated. And the fraud has been from the beginning here, so everything they've done is actually vitiated.
We're losing you, Thomas.
It doesn't exist. It's a fiction. It is another way for these idiots to try to control us. We don't owe a penny. We don't owe a penny. Who owes a penny are the donors of these private corporations. They're the ones that owe all of these outside creditors.
Correct. Yeah, we're losing you there, Big Chap.
Which is really what the Declaration of Independence was trying to do. At that point, you have a colonial title to the land that you've conquered. And anything that's there in place that may owe someone else is not owed by you, because you're the conqueror.
Hey, Phil, can you call him on his cell phone and tell him you don't have him?
Yeah. Thomas, you're too far away from the phone for people to hear.
I know, but something is happening to my phone.
We can't hear him.
Okay, I can hear you guys a little better. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not me. That's whatever's on the line.
Yeah.
What, did you hear everything I said?
We missed the last few points that you were making.
Okay, so let me see. Let's say, under the doctrine of conquest.
Right.
At that point, you own a lodial title to the land that you've conquered. And anything that is there in place that may owe an outside entity is not owed by you. They may come and they may sue the idiots that were there that we conquered. And those persons and the owners thereof would be personally liable. Of course, if you conquered it, you don't owe anything. It's yours, free and clear. And so you basically have to look at what Iceland did, which is basically what they said. No, no, this is odious debt. And this is our land. And so we don't owe any of you. As a matter of fact, you committed fraud against us, so we're going to throw you in jail. And anybody that has a claim can come after you and your personal assets.
Right.
And so it is the doctrine of odious debt. It is actually there. You can Google it. It's there.
All right. Now, with respect to the maintenance of order, are you going to address the oath in the next session, or is that something that we should cover tonight?
Well, can you, I'm not quite sure I understand what you're saying.
The oath, the people that have sworn oaths are going to have to.
Oh, okay, okay. So yes, well, that's very simple. I've actually designed a much better oath that's a little stronger, and I've also designed a rescission of their signature on the corporate documents and a vacation of office or a vacating of office document. Sure. Two separate documents, and trust me, anybody that's in that structure right now will not sign these documents, because they will fully understand what I'm doing. And it's basically, they're admitting the crimes, and we want them to admit their crimes, and I'm willing to forgive them if they're willing to admit them right now. I can offer forgiveness right now. But after that, there is no forgiveness. You've been told what you've been doing is wrong. I doubt it'll happen. A lot of them would probably take these things to their lawyers, their counsel, and their counsel would say, oh, well, this is making you fully liable for your actions. What they don't understand is that we will forgive them right now. If they do it right now at this moment within the next 72 hours, anybody that's taking an oath, sign these documents. Come back to the civilian authority. We'll forgive you. If you don't do that, we're going to treat you like the criminal that you are. And that's how I would address anybody that you put these documents before. Because at that point, you've given them due notice. And you no longer are required to give them notice. The only thing you need to do at that point is to file a complaint.
Enforce it.
Who do we file the complaint with?
That is going to have to be, well, I mean, it depends on how you're looking at it. I mean, if you're looking at the template we did here and you still have time and they haven't come and killed us yet, you could file the complaint in a court of theirs. And you can get their head spinning like we've done here. And you can get them in default and dishonor. And you can go ahead and put a nail in the coffin. But I don't think you have the time for that. I think the best bet is to just approach them with these documents, anybody in government right now, and offer them to sign it. And let them know that we now know. We know what's going on. And you can give them a copy of the judicial notice from this complaint. It's a separate document, but give it to them. Tell them to take that to their counsel. Tell their counsel to look through that. And their counsel will very quickly see that we've proven not only fraud, but constructive fraud, fraud in the inducement, fraud in the factum. We've proven treason, sedition. We've proven misprision of felony. There are many things just from that six-page judicial notice, and it's all their own words. Not a single word did I insert in there. It's all their own words. And so that judicial notice is actually a very good document to give in combination with those two documents. That's something that you can do right now at a local level, because really right now it is your sheriffs, your purported oath keepers at the local level that are enslaving us. Those are the ones we have contact with the most.
Right. So
and it doesn't require you to go very far. I mean, they're in your local community, so it's not going to cost you a lot of time or money to get these before them. I believe Mr. Swenson in Georgia is doing it. I think he was doing it earlier. He may still be doing it as we speak. He did it earlier today as well. Of course, they did not accept the offer, and that's fine because now we've given them notice of their crimes. We offered forgiveness. That's biblical. We should offer forgiveness if they're willing to change their ways.
So the other two documents that go along with the judicial notice are?
I just wrote them overnight last night. Once again, my computer is down, but as soon as it goes back up, I will mass email it out.
Okay.
One is the rescission of their signature on any corporate document of any kind or any nature, and the other is them telling them that they're vacating any and all offices, capacities, jurisdictions, and venues inside that corporate structure, and they're putting it under oath and signing their wedding signature to it with their seal. And then at that point, they can take a lawful oath to put them back into the civilian structure that they've been purporting to be the entire time. And so this is something that can be done at a grassroots level.
Yep.
And the judicial notice is a...
Tucson, sorry for my lateness.
There's a fine for that. You can send me the check, $1,000.
No problem. It's in the mail.
Right.
I'm sure it'll bounce like all the rest.
No, stop it.
All right,
send gold, no checks allowed.
Right, there you go. Steve, anything else? And then maybe we'll open up for the quick, because I don't want to overload the people with too much at one time or they won't absorb it.
Right. Anybody else have a question out there?
Yeah, I got a question.
Go for it, dude.
Yeah, Tom, this is Dave. Are you calling for bodies in West Virginia?
Well, narrow that question down for me, because that's an awfully open-ended question.
Well, we need a hedge of protection around you.
Okay, I could answer that. I would say that I'm calling for true people, for at least a diamond of protection around me, absolutely. Because there's a lot in my head that no one has but me and a few close people. And it would be a shame to lose it all because these foreign agents have declared war. It really would.
Agreed.
So
any other questions?
We need people to come and hang out with Tom and make sure nothing stupid happens to him.
And by the way, I'm in great health, great mental capacity, and I'm not suicidal by any means.
But he has a dog that eats everything.
And I have a dog that will eat anything at this point.
I think for well, those not going, we could also keep you in prayer.
I'm surrounded that way, but the devil has many minions. And sometimes the Lord works through people.
Absolutely.
So accept the prayer.
Dogs.
And dogs.
And dogs.
Unfortunately, mine, I think, is the devil.
No, he's just nutritionally deficient, my friend.
Because he is eating everything and anything at this point.
Yeah, that's pica or cribbing. That dog needs some minerals. He's got a severe mineral deficiency.
Well, then I'm making a plea for my dog, for help for my dog, too, then.
Okay. I'll see what I can do about that.
So that document, sometime within the next 24 hours, I will send out those two documents that were referenced here and the judicial notice. And I will pull the judicial notice title off of it, and it can just be notice. And they will pass all of this to their counsel. I'm going to tell you right away. They run everything through their counsel. We have the documents to prove that now. These foreign agent esquires are running the entire show here. And that is because of the Treaty of Peace, the Definitive Treaty of Peace, 1783. And so it's legal, but it's not lawful. And it is fraudulent in nature. So they will pass these to their counsel, and their counsel will advise them to ignore it, that it's frivolous, and that's fine, but it is their own words. So who cares what they say? I don't care what they say at this point. I could care less. But at least give them the notice, and it's something that can be done at the local level, and you don't have to go to court. You can give them to the judges. You can give them to anybody in government at this point. I recommend give it to everyone at this point, anyone and everyone.
Right.
And so that is a way that we can do it at a grassroots level. And I still recommend the filing of complaints, not only at the state level, but at the federal level as well. And we'd like to see them in every court in this nation at this point. We may not have time to see him through to conclusion, but it puts a lot of pressure on him, and pressure busts pipes at this point. So let's bust these pipes open.
Yeah.
And we're starting to learn who those secret foreign operatives are, and they're everywhere. And as we find out who they are, we will be releasing their names publicly everywhere.
Yeah, we'll do some of that on the 9/11 Patriot Ride when we make our national public declaration that we're taking them all down.
Well, I hope we have time till then. I hope we have time.
We will. We'll have that time. Any other questions out there?
Well, that's good. I'm glad the people are thinking. That means that's why they're quiet.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, indeed. Funny to think about there, Thomas. Well, if we don't have any more questions, like we were just saying, there's plenty of them all over. I hope people are taking some notes. Plus, this is recorded, so we'll have a way for you to go back and listen to it. Phil has, I think, recorded it as well, so he'll have a sound file that he can put on the whodoc.info. And now there's a whodoc.info, right? Is that correct or not? Thomas?
Yes, Thomas did inform me of that earlier today.
Yeah, I know there's whodoc.info, whodoc.whodoc.info.
Okay.
There's one other one I forget. And then, of
back
course,
up.
Try to back up.
Back up, Budok.
Okay, yes. And then we also have individual media fire links that have all the filings and the auto recordings. So we've got four different places for them.
Yeah. The other thing, everyone that's on the phone, we're encouraging everyone to copy all these files so that there's plenty of places where these things are going to be so that nothing untoward can happen to these main websites that have files that they could all be basically erased some in one way or another. So, and pass these things around. Pass them around to everyone you know. Let's make this stuff go viral.
How do you access your files? This is hard for Van Dyke.
Right now, Hudok.info is probably the easiest one to remember. They're on there under legal filing.
I mean, how do we access the archives to get back shows and things like that?
Well, they're downloadable from the website in PDF form.
Which website?
Hudok, Hudok.info.
Okay, I got that one.
Okay. The other two are just basically mirror sites because we seem to have some foreign agent intrusion in free speech.
Remember, some of these people that are working for the government to think they're doing right are beginning to get their eyes open, too, and they're not so sure they like what they're doing because it's going to hurt them and their families.
Well, I've told them already tonight on this call that you know, they have a choice to make very soon. They're going to have to pick the side. They now know they're foreign agents. And there will be no mercy given if they continue down the path they're on.
Well, there's another aspect to it that I'm remarking about, though, is some of them are becoming aware of the fact that they're involved in something that's going to hurt them, and not because of some outsider, but because of the things that their own organization is doing is going to hurt their families.
Correct. Well, let's put it this way. The plans I've seen is for well under $500 million left by the end of their Phoenix Rising. And so think about that. We have, what, 300-some million in this country? That's probably the target figure for the entire Earth. So just because you're in the structure right now and it's protecting you doesn't mean it's going to protect you when they bring that new Phoenix out.
They bring it, go ahead.
They're trying to bring that Phoenix from the ashes again. They've done it over and over again in history for anybody who studied it. This is a game to the people that are actually in power here. And you don't know their names. The real power players, you do not know their names. It's not Soros. It's not Gates. Those are puppets. Those are puppets.
Yeah, definitely. Any other questions out there? Well, if we don't have any more questions, then we'll just wind things up here.
I have a question for Thomas that I think might be needed to be answered. A lot of people are trying to base this on case law.
Okay.
Yeah, as they're looking through this, and they think it can't work because they're looking at case law. They're looking at the law of today that they have been taught throughout the years.
Yeah.
And
who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares what some man said? Who cares? He's an inferior standing capacity. Your key is to get to the proper standing capacity, and you don't have to care like I do. I don't care what some man says somewhere. I could care less.
Yeah.
It's of no concern to me.
Tell them that they can't use case law because case law is a lie.
Well, case law is corrupted, and that's part of the Jesuit influence in this whole thing. We were given a corrupt form of common law by our founding fathers in this original contract because they found that through case law and through having these gatekeepers make irrational decisions based on nothing other than who has the most money or most power or influence, they can then change the course of the law form, and they call that law. They call that legal, and I don't care about legal. You can make robbery legal, if you've got enough guns to back it and 100 men to say that it's legal. That doesn't make it lawful. And so, yes, I've utilized some case law in this case, but you have to realize I have not used it in my defense, so I've not accepted the liability of it. I've used it to tell them that that is their system telling them how they must operate. Not me. It's not applicable to me. No one's ever proven the applicability of anything another man has said and implemented to me. And I've proven that for 5 years.
Any other questions out there?
Silence speaks more than words tonight.
Amen.
Silence is acceptance.
I'm glad you can see that, Dave.
Why, thank you, sir.
Gina, Phil, is there anything you want to expound upon? I mean, you guys have been quiet, too.
I always have to say that, you know, it's a spiritual battle. We have to remember that. And we have to trust in the Lord, and we can't let fear override what we know we must do. And we'll give him all the credit.
Jim Larkin, I got a question for you. Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Let's see. Leonard seems to be muted right now. I guess he has a question. So he's got the 562 area code.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me check and look. I got two. Let's see. I got two people that look muted right now, and that's 0813 and 4342. And those are the only ones that I've checked. Oh, hold on. Did you say a 310? Area code?
No. 562.
562. I don't see it. I only got in the entire call base, I've got three check marks on mute, and that's area code 310.
I think that may be him right there, I think.
Try that one.
Okay, sure.
I think.
Okay, he's off.
Leonard,
I really didn't have a question. I just wanted to make sure I was unmuted because I was going to comment earlier, but that's cool.
Yeah.
It's all in
you. Well, what was your comment? Give us the benefit of your comment now.
Well, I'll spank Jim later for that.
Leonard, that was an accident, bro. I don't know how that happened. I claim innocence.
No, that's fine. I'm only joking anyway, of course.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
I don't know. I heard a lot of noise coming out of your phone there, a lot of background noise, Leonard.
That's might have what happened. I might have muted you if there was background noise. Sometimes I do that. I'm sorry.
Well, I've been on mute pretty much the whole time, so
It
probably wasn't me, unless you had a way to prove that, but I'm pretty sure I was on mute most of the time because I know when the dog's barking, that thing goes into mute.
Right. No worries. Just so everybody on the call knows, you know, on the conference board, there is sound meters, and of course, when the main speaker is speaking, obviously they can tell they're obviously have the loudest. But when there's background chatter, and I see that it's coming up more often than not, I just tonight actually for the first time I kind of muted a couple of people, obviously. So sorry about that, Larry.
Well, Jim, I must say you did an excellent job on that because the call before that was a little bit erratic, and this is much, much better, so I commend you for that.
Okay, thank you. I just want to mention one thing. I've been working with Tom and trying to get together petition packages for each of the states to go down another avenue, so it's a little bit of work. So I'm just I'm working on that, but I just thought I'd give everybody a heads up so that if and when the time comes that I have all the packages together, it's the first step. It's for the process, or one of the processes, I should say. And, you know, I just thought I'd let you know that I am sort of trying to put those together, and then they'll be available for whoever wants to execute. The petitions are relatively simple compared to the actual filing of the complaint. So but we'll get into that later as I get closer to finishing those up. I'm going to only, you know, 12 to stay spent putting those packs together. And, but anyway, we'll keep you updated on that. Thank you. I'm going to go back.
Okay. Anyone else with a question or a comment?
Yeah, I got a question for Phil Hudak. Did you have your debate in your? Didn't you have a debate coming up for your gubernatorial race?
No, there's been no debate in the gubernatorial race. There were debates in the U.S. senatorial race two years ago, and I was excluded, as the other third-party candidates were, when four groups, the West Virginia Press Association, AARP, the West Virginia Public Broadcasting, and the Metro News Radio Network sponsored a debate. So we kind of made it hard on them the last election cycle, because we got a lot of coverage in that they were excluding everyone except the chosen few. I'm hoping that I think it's their worst nightmare that I actually be in any debates where I can bring up that we've been classified as enemies of our own government and that we really haven't had the rule of law in probably anyone's lifetime that would be listening to the debates. So there are a lot of symptoms of the problem, but we're talking about the root of the problem, and that is this corporate Borg that they've created to take our money, insulate themselves. As George Carlin said, it's a big club and you ain't in it. People need to realize it's been that way their whole lives. When those debates come up, it's going to be very interesting, because they got burnt last time, so we'll see what happens.
Any other questions or comments?
Thomas, have you heard anything with our friend Carl in Georgia on a result of those documents that he presented to those city council or those county council?
The one from this morning, of course, he presented them along with the proper D&B breakdown, credit safe breakdown, and articles of incorporation. And of course, their response was really that they need to take it under advisement and seek counsel.
Right. Well, and seek counsel, okay.
Yes. Right. And the one for this evening, I didn't speak to him after he was scheduled to do it yet, but I was told that he will be posting the link to the one from this morning at some point.
I think that was my question earlier, was when you were speaking about starting to present these new oaths and the rescission, you should probably have some sort of exhibits such as those Dun & Bradstreet corporate structures. Would that be correct in assuming?
Well, with the resources that Carl's using right now, he can get much more detailed than anybody can for free, but you can get the basic structure for free. I think it's creditreports.dnb.com, and then back that up with another search on manta.com, and between the two, you should at minimum have the registered address, the corporate name, and possibly the principal or manager of that entity. And so it'll take you a few minutes, but it's there, and you can at least get the free portion of it. What Carl's done is he's really destroying them, and of course he's assisted us here in West Virginia in being able to break it down a little farther than the average person can. But as long as you can show that they're on Dun & Bradstreet, because that's corporations only, and if it's on Manta, it's also corporations. And those records of both of those companies are derived from the incorporation records from the proper register of each state.
Exactly. And I think what that clearly does is create a specific charge of misprision of a felony right on the spot, right that moment.
Correct. Because you've brought evidence of the crime of fraud, which is a felony. And at that point, if they do not do something about it, they are guilty of misprision of felony at minimum, including the other crimes that they're also involved in. And of course, if you're showing that they are purporting to be government, but they're not, and they're operating against the best interests of the people, the state citizen of this country, then that is treason and sedition as well.
I'd like to discuss another issue, which you may want to get with Carl if you think it's legitimate. Since now Carl, who has put on the record basically that there was misprision of a felony, it is also Carl's responsibility to notify the proper authorities of this fact. So he probably is, I'm going to suggest that he should probably go to his local FBI and other authoritative entities so he can stay off the, because he could be charged by not actually purport or not actually reporting this to those authorities. What do you think of that?
Well, when you're taking it, well, there's two ways of looking at it. I would say that he did avoid misprision of felony by taking it to someone in authority, because that's what government claims to be. That's their own claim. That's what they say. They're an authority. So in my opinion, they claim to be the authority. If you take it to someone in a government capacity or a purported government capacity, that's authority. Now, if you wanted to take it farther than that, I would at minimum, I mean, I think he's dealing at the county level. I would take it to the one that has purported jurisdiction of the county at that point. I would
that
take
would
it
be
to
the state. Absolutely, or the state, or even the Supreme Court.
Correct.
Yes, I understand.
And so he's, especially the fact that he's recorded, all he would need to do is put the facts in affidavit form, and that would support a complaint into court based upon those facts. And at that point, the court, if they fail to take action, they are actually guilty of misprision of felony. And you can actually just go, that's why I say always start, if you're going to do it from the local level, if you're at the county level, take it to the sheriff. If the sheriff doesn't do anything, take it to the state police or the next level of police. If they don't do anything, at that point, file it in court. And that way, what you've done is you've built a string of persons that have committed misprision of felony, and you're able to bring in that structure, rein it in a little quicker.
Bingo. That's exactly my point. You're setting them up for a takedown, and that's exactly what I meant by what I said. Excellent. You set them up.
And that's something that, you know, you can do at your local venue. You know, that is something that those that may not feel comfortable with petitioning or filing a complaint like we did here, we're very comfortable with what we did. And as a matter of fact, I dealt with the local level and told them for 4 years while they were in default of the crimes they've been committing. And so I went through the steps there, and then we just decided that we're very comfortable in a court. And so that's where we brought it. But you can start setting them up slowly, you know, and if we end up having time and breathing room, you've built a wonderful case to include as much of the corporate structure in one case as possible. And I recommend
Absolutely. Take
it to your county attorney, take it to your state attorney, get all of these guys involved, give everyone notice of this so that you can bring a very large party. I like big parties. I think they're very fun. So bring as many as you can to the party is the way I would look at it.
Oh, boy. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It's a beautiful system that allows you to bind them with their own stuff. It's a beautiful
system. Oh, my
system.
God. Their own words, their own, oh, my God. It's just
and insane. Remember, misprision of felony. Oh, and by the way, he did give them the 1790 Act of Congress, which included treason, sedition, and misprision of felony, so that he gave them specific notice out of the gate of what they might be doing wrong.
That's beautiful.
And so what I'll do, I guess maybe I can do is go ahead and send that out with the other two documents and the judicial notice, if someone will remind me in an email. I'll attach that original act of Congress, too, so that they can't say that they didn't know the law, even though they're bound to know the law because they're making and upholding the law. But we'll go ahead and give them notice of it.
Yeah, we have that maxim, right? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So,
right.
Yep, absolutely.
Amen. Any other questions out there or any more comments? Okay, if that's it, we'll wind it up for tonight. Thursday night at 8 o'clock.
Thank you.
I want to make a call out to the people on the call for assistance in West Virginia. I think that's the one thing that's been lacking on this call. We got to.
I made it. I was going to make it again. There are a few men here that need the assistance of real men. So far, we haven't found any. All of them know who they are. They'll be put upon the wall of shame at some point. I would implore everyone to look at the court of record, the trust indenture, at minimum. Look at the documents that will be coming out, the four documents in the next day or so. Read them, and we can start off the next call with questions regarding those things. And then I will go in and I will destroy your founding documents so that you know where the problems exist, and we can go further into detail on how to solve that problem. And with that, I would like to give a shout-out to the Jesuits and the Pope. And that's all I have to say.
Here, here.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Dominic.
All right, sports fans, I guess that's it. Just everybody be on the lookout for people that want to assist with security in West Virginia.
And at this point, it's security of real live men, not security for any action to be taken. We're simply looking to protect the three men at this point that need it.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming on the call. And we'll continue on Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Hey, Thomas, I just want to point out before we check out, I am a sharpshooter.
Yeah, that's a good one, bud. That's a good one. I bet you can hit the broadside of a barn at this point.
You got that right.
Yeah. Thank you. I need that last
shotgun.
He sounds
okay,
like
so
a Claymore mine gentleman, right? He sounds like a Claymore mine gentleman.
Dave has a little sight problem. So
yeah, I know. That's why I said Claymore mine. You don't need sight.
That's true. so I will send these documents as soon as I can reference on this call here. The two new documents, the judicial notice and the 1790 Act of Congress, to Steve and Jim here, and I'll let them pass it out to those that were on the call.
By the way, I'm glad to hear you're eating.
I'm actually having some soft, chewy chocolate chip cookies right now. I need some sugar.
Oh,
right.
Oh my
that's
God.
That's real good for you. Yeah, with that peanut butter and jelly, that's real good.
Eat some eggs, Thomas. Eggs. They're cheap and they are healthy as hell.
Yeah, amen.
Lots of cholesterol for the brain. Everybody on this call should be eating 4 to 6 eggs per 100 pounds of body weight every day.
It doesn't
Wow.
Matter.
Remember,
shit,
most of what
I'd,
they told
I'd
you
weigh
about
500
nutrition.
Pounds.
No, 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 I'm not lying. I work for a doctor. I work for a healthy lifestyle company. Believe me, I lost 100 pounds in 5 months following a 10 bad foods list and taking nutritional supplements and eggs, man. Your brain is 100% cholesterol, the solid matter of your brain. Your myelin sheath, that's the coating that covers all your nerves and your whole body, 100% cholesterol. And all your hormones, sex hormones, you know, all of them, they're all 100% cholesterol. You can't make a drop of testosterone without cholesterol. The reason everybody's on statin drugs and cholesterol should be, according to the medical industry, which is funded by the government, 150 to 100 now, that's wrong. That's dumb you down and make you docile so you can follow orders without complaining. That's what that's all about, people. Eggs are healthy. You need them. Think about it. A chick, an egg is laid, and in 21 days, you got a live chick. That yolk is the most nutritious food on the planet. It's got everything in it almost that you need. So think about it.
Yeah, before we cut off here, since we're getting into that, I figured I would give you, let me find it here, what you should and can be taking, because this is what the elite are taking right now to counteract the effects that they're spraying on us.
If I can't
find it right now, I'm looking.
The Clyde O'Silver?
No, that's not on the list. No,
it's
the
vinegar. Vinegar.
Yeah, it's to counteract the exact chemical concoction that they're spraying on us. And I was giving it my dear, dear friend there. Okay. First one is a tablespoon of organic apple cider vinegar with 16 ounces of water once a day. 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C time-release capsule. Amino acids and minerals. He recommended a 22-22 blend amino acids from GNC. Super digestive enzymes from GNC. Ultra Mega Time Release Vitamins from GNC, MSN Organic Sulfate.
Say that last one again.
MSM, Mary St. Mary, Organic Sulfur.
Organic Sulfur, okay.
Comes in
arginine.
Is there an amount of that organic sulfur?
I was told that you're going to follow the instructions.
Gotcha, okay.
L-arginine, which is L-arginine. And the last one, if I can even read my writing here. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
hey, Thomas, I want to stop you, brother. All that stuff from GNC is all synthetic. All that stuff I sent you.
Well, you got to remember, this is coming from Europe, and Europe is much different from here.
Sorry, say that again. My kid.
I said this is what they're using in Europe, and in Europe they have much different regulations than here.
But yeah, they have Codex Alimentarius there. You have to get a doctor's prescription to get 5 milligrams of vitamin C.
It can be done because he's getting it, but this is what the elite are using because this exact combination here is what counteracts exactly what they're spraying. And that's
all that stuff was in what I sent you, brother.
Yeah.
We'll need to get that online.
You go to my website.
And the last one, I can't read this. I'll have to tell you next time. Because I can't read my own writing. Don't laugh. That's not funny.
Yeah. Hey, that's funny. I can't read my own writing either.
Well, since I used to be a doctor, I just wanted to make a
a suggestion to all on this call. I have found a way to lose about 45 pounds of the most ugly weight on your body. You know what that would be?
Cut off your head.
There you go.
Does anybody know where I can get any fat-free water? I can't find it.
It's right next to the instant water.
Fat is very important. Use cholesterol. Use butter. Use cream. You need fat. Fat is very healthy. Think about who put together the food pyramid and why. It's all about eugenics.
And whatever they've told you, do the exact opposite.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
The way this explained to me is that this was developed by a chemist, and this is to exactly counteract this is not for nutritional purposes. This is to counteract exactly what they're spraying and putting in the air. That's it.
Yeah, but Thomas, when you give your body the 90 essential nutrients every day that it needs for your body weight, you counteract all of that spraying, all of it.
Not the new stuff that's in Europe. Not the new stuff that's in Europe right now.
What do you mean? Not what new stuff?
It's nano and physical and.
Oh yeah, nature. That's here. They're spraying and all that crap here.
It's not like it is in Europe at this point. But that's what's happening to them. In Europe at this point, and it will be brought here because Europe is owned on paper by DC.
Right.
Thomas? Hello?
Hello?
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thomas, this is Linda. Did you get my email this morning?
Linda, you're not holding your phone right anymore.
Yes, I am.
You sound muffled like you were last week.
Sweetie, you've got to find a man and stop kissing that phone.
Did you get my email this morning about my state?
I'd have to say no, that I don't. I didn't see it.
Okay, I'll resend it.
Yeah, I try to answer those that I know, and so if you don't get a response from me at this point, I most likely did not get it.
Okay. Let me know. Email me when your computer's back up then.
I'm about halfway through the reboot.
Okay.
So hopefully within the hour.
Okay.
Yeah. If anybody's interested in getting all those supplements that are natural. You can check out my website or call me.
What's your website?
Is Wallach Way, WALLACHS, like Sam, WAY.com.
Okay.
And my phone number is 810-721. 2103. I'm Dave in the Thumb of Michigan.
Hey Dave, do you have the exact remedy that Thomas had spitted out here?
Well, Tom, you go ahead and email me that or text that to me. But we have all that stuff. We have stuff that's designed in packs for whatever's ailing you. All disease is broken down into four categories, hard tissue, soft tissue, digestive, and blood sugar. And I work for a doctor that has 40 years of research, 26,000 autopsies on animals and humans. He was the big game vet on the TV show Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And he did a 12-year study for the federal government working for the St. Louis Zoo and all the zoos around the planet that were looking for a canary in a coal mine that would tell them when pollution levels were too high and they could evacuate the cities. He headed up that study.
It was back in the 60s. It was a $7.5 million grant. You know, back then that was like $1 billion. And his research is impeccable. It's all, he's got a book in the Smithsonian Institute. He discovered the cause and cure for muscular dystrophy and got Jerry Lewis fired from the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation because when he presented that information to the foundation, they fired him because they don't want the cure, they want the money. It's all a nutritional deficiency, all illness. There's no his newest book is called Epigenetics, The Death of the Theory of Genetic Disease Transmission. No disease is genetic. You have birth defects from parents that are nutritionally deficient while at conception, and then mom is depleted of nutrition during the pregnancy, and that will cause birth defects. Yeah. But, you know, so they're pretty much baked in the cake, but disease is not genetic at all. So it's food, people. The food is weaponized. The air is weaponized. The water is weaponized. Even these communication devices that we're speaking to each other on are weaponized. So it's all about nutrition, and it's about real nutrition. So check it out. I'm for real. Thomas knows me, and I consider us pretty good friends. So, you know, I'm a health coach and a business coach, so you guys looking for nutritional supplements, call me. I will help you.
Well, that doctor you were talking about sounds like a foreign agent to me.
Oh, no.
I'm joking.
You know what? This guy is the most badass. You heard Hartford Van Dyke on the phone here
today? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hartford and Dr. Wallach were born on the same day.
Wow.
And they are both brilliant. I get chills when I talk about either one of them guys. And, you know, I consider Hartford my friend. And, Dr. Wallach is incredible. He's 75 years old. He has not been to a doctor as a patient since he was 9. And at 9 years old, he was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome, and he reversed it in 3 days by eating the nutritional pellets that they ground up and made into, they ground up their own food at the farm he grew up on in Missouri as a kid, and they added vitamins and minerals to it, and he started taking those pellets when they told him, he looked it up in the book. Tourette's cramping. It's a calcium deficiency. Started eating them pellets. The day after he came home from school after reading that book, he went out in the morning and he dumped out his bowl of Cheerios to the chickens. Went in the barn, filled his bowl up with the pellets that he was feeding the baby calves with, and went back in the house, sat down at the breakfast table, and his mom said, "Oh, my God, Joel, you can't eat that." And his dad said, "Hey, wait a minute. Maybe the kid's got something here." In 3 days, he reversed his Tourette syndrome. So that guy has the hand of God on his shoulder. He's been guiding him all the way, and he's brilliant. He's awesome. I've met him 3 times. He does a health lecture. It's called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Some of you probably heard of that. It's the most famous health lecture in history. He sold over 300 million copies of that lecture, and he goes around the world 300 days a year giving that lecture for free, and it's a 3 to 5 hour lecture. And the guy lives in airports, airplanes, hotels, you know, cars, restaurants, and he takes his own medicine. The reason they call it Dead Doctors Don't Lie is because doctors on average in America were dying at age 58. When he came out with that study in 1993, the medical industry was up in arms, and they did their own study, actuaries from insurance companies for 3 years. Somebody gave them a donation to do the study, so they had to publish the findings when they were finished, and the findings were doctors don't die at age 58, they die at age 56. Because they take their own